Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know what bothers me about that spot? I think Lawrence is going to submit that for an award.
I 2018, PAB, lock it up.
Yeah, but then we're going to have to go in, we're going to have to support it, and we're like, you know, and one of the kids sounded like McGranahan. You know, the other one sounded like Reichle. I mean, aren't you concerned? I'm concerned.
I'm very concerned. Oh, that's the joyful sound that Joe McGranahan gives every year. As soon as, the first time he gets the boat out onto the river, as soon as that Faberdam is to 100% good to go.
Now, this is where I really respect Sarah Benick, for example. Okay. Refuse to participate. Standards. All right. So.
She got a job to do.
She says, I don't care what awards the station gets. I mean, I'm not going to fake being one of the kids that's excited to hear Mark talk. He's sitting at home right now, and he's laughing.
Oh, he's still in the, he's still here in the office.
I'm not surprised. You know, Mark Lawrence is one hard worker, and I'm proud to have him as a friend. So.
Me too.
And then there's the suit. All right. In a few moments, Neil Kulong. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
And the 1-1, a drive to right center field and deep. Eddie Rosario, a three-homer night. Another no down to the right center. Eddie Rosario's gone deep three times. And a fitting way for the Twins to put up number 20 in the run column tonight. 20-6, Twins.
They had 28 hits last night. 28 hits. Wow. They won the final. I think what was the final? 20-7. Does
yes.
that sound right?
20-7.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you got to admire that. That made it 20-6. I mean, you got to admire the fight the Mariners put up to get another run. All right. Wow. All right, let's bring in Neil Kulong. Neil, welcome. Great to have you back and with us on the show today.
Yeah, it's good to hear you on the line this time and not across the room.
That's right. That's what I mean. So, Neil, what do you think? let's start with the Steeler minicamp. Villanueva's in there and so forth. What's your thought process on this whole thing?
Well, really, you've got two ways to look at it. As far as Villanueva goes, he's a good story. I think he's an improving player. I think he's somebody that the Steelers would like to have long term. But I don't know if there's a player in the NFL right now that has less leverage for a contract than he does. Next year, he's a restricted free agent. He's got nothing that supports the idea that he has to have a contract extension now. Not to mention the fact he wasn't drafted, so they can give him an original round tender next year, and look to match any offer that he might get in free agency. Right now, he can't go anywhere. He's in the worst possible spot that somebody in a contract position can be in the NFL. I think the team would be interested in signing him long term, but there are really two things at play with him. It's one, he's super cheap for a starter, and most teams kind of covet that sort of thing. And two, they drafted Jarrell Hawkins in the fourth round last year, kind of gave him a red shirt. And I think the idea was to put themselves into a position very similar to what they were in with Calvin Beecham and Villanueva 2 years ago. You want to have, you know, kind of the dark horse guy, give him some time to build up and develop and see if he's a better, read cheaper alternative when contracts, you know, kind of come due like it was with Beecham. It worked out well with Villanueva, and Hawkins very well could, you know, kind of move Villanueva off the roster in a similar manner, you know, 2 years down the line. Do they want to get to that point? I don't know. I don't think they're interested right now in making good by Villanueva. And the fact that he's showing up really is more to his benefit than anything else. He's under contract. And because of that, he'd be fine if he didn't go to minicamp. So he kind of has to. It seems like the media are making him out to be a little bit more heroic and team-oriented than he perhaps probably is. This is his obligation. So that said, I mean, I think he's a good player. I think he's somebody that they are interested in. Certainly, he's improved tremendously. I remember watching the camp back in 2015 thinking, this guy's probably going to replace Beecham. He looks really good for the amount of experience that he's had. And he's only gotten better. So, you know, this year, I don't think it's really going anywhere with him. I think if he'd be willing to take a super cheap deal, they'd be interested in looking at that. But I don't think that's in his best interest either.
Then there's also the story of Le'Veon Bell, and Bell has not yet, I don't think he signed his one-year tender yet, as a matter of fact, and of course he's coming off off-season groin surgery, so I don't think that sets off alarm bells, does it?
No, I think people are probably going to blow the comparison between the two very much out of proportion. You know, Bell is a little bit more controversial, if you will, of a player than Villanueva is. That said, he hasn't signed his tender, so in reality, he can't be at minicamp. He's not under contract currently, so he's not allowed to be there. Question comes, why doesn't he have his tender signed yet? There are a variety of different reasons why that might be the case. I'm not saying that it's all pro Steelers or all pro Bell, but the reality is they're obviously still in negotiations for a long-term deal. I think that is a situation that would benefit both sides where they are right now. The question is, how much guaranteed money can you give a guy that is probably facing a one-year long suspension for any type of violation of the drug and alcohol policy within the NFL? It's tough to say. He deserves what the market will bear for all things being equal, a player of his ability. So you really, you know, there are probably two differing perspectives, and this is really why they put the tag on him to begin with. Certainly he's worth a long-term investment. I think he's one of the best offensive players in football when he's out on the field. But suspensions and injuries have limited him quite a bit, particularly in the postseason over the last couple of years. The team has really needed him, and they've lost the games that he hasn't been in there by and large. So it's a tough spot for both of them to be in. I don't think Bell will hold out from training camp. I do think he'll sign the tender eventually. I think he'll play. It's in his best interest to get on the field and show that he can be a 16-game, a year-plus postseason running back. If he does that, then, yeah, he's going to be the highest-paid running back in the game, probably by a pretty healthy margin. They're going to have to pony up at that point. But it's kind of what they have to do right now for the short term. You know, the $10.5 million that he's going to get on the franchise tag isn't jump change over 1 year, but you want to, you know, maximize how much you can get over time. And, you know, Bell really just kind of got in his own way with that. I believe he would have an extension right now had he not been suspended. Even, you know, a second time, he might have even had it in place. But right now, the Steelers are probably bargain shopping just because they've got leverage over him as well. Right. He can't really go anywhere, and the year will toll if he doesn't play, so he will have gained nothing. He's going to have to play at some point, and if they can come to an agreement on a deal, I think it works out well for him, but it's not going to be a max market deal, that's for sure.
The only draft choice they have not signed, and again, this is under the category of it's no big deal, but that's T.J. Watt. When they've seen him and had a chance to be around him, what do they like about him?
They've talked about his get-off from what I've seen. Tomlin really seems to appreciate the fact that he does explode off the ball. And that's something I think fits in well with a general analysis of Watt is, you know, football in shorts is one thing, football in pads is another. And I really don't see the same type of get off to be excited about. I wouldn't say I'm embarrassed by it or anything, but I don't see him as nearly the elite athlete that he tested as. I didn't see that in his film, and granted, he didn't play a whole lot. Right. We've talked about this before. At his intro press conference, Tomlin said something I thought really, you know, made sense overall. It's not that he's inexperienced, it's that he's raw. Not that he's raw, it's that he's inexperienced.
Right.
The speed in which he gets off the ball from a stance in pads against, you know, a live pass protection, I think is going to improve as it naturally would for any younger player. But where he sits right now, that would really have to be a very strong asset for him to really compete for a considerable amount of playing time. Now, I've said that the last couple of years about Steelers rookie defensive players just because that's kind of the way that it's gone. But this one in particular, Dupree surprised me and still didn't have a huge amount of snaps. But, 500 his rookie year was probably a bit more than I thought. That said, I think Watt's probably in that 400, 500 range somewhere. I don't think he's going to be a real impact player, but he moves well away from the ball. That's something that's always valuable. An outside linebacker who can cover the short flat area, run with tight ends for 5-6 yards, I think can be valuable to a versatile defense, which is what the Steelers are trying to become now. It's good to see that, he's drawing some accolades from the coach. In the past, it seems that the coaching staff has kind of, put the rookies in their place a little bit. That seems to have kind of shifted over the last couple of years. And maybe they're trying to prop him up because they really expect that they're going to need him. And if that's the case, if he can get out there and make an impact, you've got a very dominant potential defense.
Away from the Steelers for a moment, and at the moment also away from the league, is Colin Kaepernick. Let's just get in football terms. Just in football, what do you think football-wise keeps him off a roster at the moment?
I think there's a middle level of quarterback that you don't bring one in with starting experience because you're trying to groom a younger one. You don't want the outside pressure of knowing that there is a veteran starter in there. If the rookie does kind of fall apart, it might be seen as, well, we're committing everything to the rookie now. We don't want to have a veteran breathing down his neck just
right,
in case, he gets freaked out by it or anything. The other side of it really is financial. I have no idea what amount of money Colin Kaepernick would play for. Certainly we have evidence that shows there are quarterbacks right now that have turned down, a fairly extensive amount of money simply because they didn't want to play anymore. Jay Cutler did that. Tony Romo did that. There's an argument that can be made that Kaepernick would say, you're not going to pay me $12 million to be a backup. I don't really want to be a backup at $2 million. So, if the right offer comes around, I'll take it. I understand the real implications of all of this and what's going to be said about the situation if Kaepernick does not sign. But the reality is it could be something like that. I wouldn't blame a guy that's made, tens of millions of dollars in the NFL. If he's not going to get the opportunity that he wants, I wouldn't blame him for walking away. That's a pretty nasty sport, and we've seen the ramifications of, long-term, long careers, especially from quarterbacks. Things can end up pretty badly for him. If he doesn't want to play anymore, I get it. I think it's a dollars and cents issue, and I really think, he falls into a category that's more like, let's get to camp, let's see what our guys look like, let's see what value we have. And just in case there's an injury, let's keep Kaepernick in mind. He's a guy that we would bring in case of injury. The Steelers ran into that 2 years ago with Mike Vick. He's not a guy that they would have signed
right,
in June or July heading into training camp. But the second that they had a need, which was right after training camp, they signed him the next day. So I think he fits into that boat more than anything. He's a guy that the team would see as somebody that would compete against their current backup for a starting position should their starter go down. And that's not really an uncommon position for a quarterback to be in either. I don't think this is exclusive to Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
But if somebody gets hurt, let's see what happens. I'll withhold judgment until then.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. Hey, thanks so much, Neil. Pleasure. Great to have you on as always.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be this summer.
It's the Summer Spectacular Sale.
Sunbury Motors Ford is drastically reducing every new Ford in stock during the SMC Summer Spectacular Sale.
SMC is where you want to be because every new Ford will be clearly marked with savings up to $12,700.
Choose from over 20 new 2017 Ford Focuses, and they're slashed to as low as $15,930. Sunbury Motors is Central Pennsylvania's Ford truck giant. Pick from four city blocks of new Ford trucks. 2017 Ford F-150s priced from only $24,419. There's 45 of the red-hot selling 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced at just $19,380.
SMC is where you want to be
because the prices are so low, they're practically giving vehicles away.
Wait, they are.
Get a 1915 SMC Limited Edition die-cast Model T collectible just for test driving a Ford. While supplies last, Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
Walking back in, I brilliantly cracked my leg on the side of the Sunbury Motors studio. Felt good.
I think right outside the corner from your studio is a couch. Yeah, you got to watch. You got to watch those sharp turns.
I was going too fast. Now I realize that me going too fast looks like slow motion to most of you. He thinks he was going fast.
That's not to be confused with the pace that you endure on the golf course. So. That's calculated.
That is my rep on the golf course. My rep is I'm fast. I mean, you know how long it takes me to play a round of golf?
I'll say I'll say 3.25 hours.
No.
Two and a half?
Less.
Really?
I can go in 2 hours. It's a running joke over the Penn State golf courses. And he'll be, if I'm playing nine, he'll be back in an hour. I mean, I go. I move. I'm trying to get max holes in before the sun goes down.
So you don't backpedal and then take another look. If I would have putted it that way, it would have broke different or just nothing.
No, it slides by, tap in, move on. Like, oh, well. Now, I have to admit, I'm hitting it more into areas now where I'm not in deep trouble. How about that?
There you go.
So there isn't as extensive a search. Although I did have one of those the other day. I'm on the ninth hole, and I hit... The ninth hole has this big tree on the left-hand side, right, that I refer to as my Eisenhower tree.
Now, is this, now, is this the blue course?
Yeah, it's a blue course.
Okay,
so it's
now,
par five.
Okay, now,
par
is, five. Now, from all the Penn State courses, is that your favorite one?
Well, I like playing either one. I'll tell you, I've really grown to really like the white course. On the way, the white course is better bunkered. The white course got a little more personality than the blue course does. Blue course is tougher in a lot of ways, but the white course may have more personality.
Now, do you flip flop? Like, do you go blue white, or?
I go whichever to one where they look at me and they said, "Mr. Jones, it's all clear." So like the other night, I looked out and there was somebody playing on the second hole of the blue course, and there was nobody on the white. I went, "We're playing white." So I line up on the ninth hole, and the way the tee box is, you can slide it different ways. Well, they've got it slid in such a way where, for my shot, that tree is right there. Like, this isn't good. So I aim to the right of the tree, and naturally, like most amateurs, I foul it up. And I hit it straight toward the woods on the right-hand side. But I don't hear it hit anything. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Well, it turns out it's a long drive. but it's still in the woods, but it's way down in the woods. It didn't hit anything. So I looked out and I thought, all right, I got a shot here. Right, so I had to kind of take it and hook it around a, two trees. And I hit one of those. Wow, this is one of the five best shots I've ever hit in my life. I hook it around the two trees and it ends up 150 yards from the hole. Right, I think it was like 159 from the hole. Hit an 8-iron in, 10-foot, got a birdie. Like, hey, okay. It's like, hey, I think I'll come back and play again.
I think that's the one thing that kind of, the one thing that really stood out for me when I was with you guys last month at the Purdy tournament with you, the suit, the chief, and with Craig Fogel, just hearing the impact the ball on the tree. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 100 to 200+ yards down the way and just hearing the crack, you know, from off in the distance.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I, you know how I make that happen? I bring this tape recorder with me, and when I hit the button, it makes you think I really belted it. Like, wow, how about that? Oh, yeah, spectacular. Great. That's how we do it. That's always been my MO.
Right. It's like the last then, line in the Moody Blues song, Knights in White Satin, and what is an illusion?
My game. But I do it for the exercise. It's all for the exercise. I'm not a person that can get on a treadmill and do something. I'm not a person that can get on an elliptical and do something. Where I'm just because I'm sitting, I'll be on the treadmill or the elliptical the entire time saying, okay, I got 20 more minutes. Great. I got 19 minutes and 30 seconds more. I got 19:10 to go. I mean, that's what I'm thinking as I'm going along in these things. So by playing golf, I'm doing something. As opposed to now. A lot of people question whether I'm doing anything right now. Final half hour of whatever it is we do.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. You're going to love this for our sports bozo of the day. All right. Last night was parts one and two of the 30 for 30 on the Celtics-Lakers. Part three is tonight. So as part of the 30 for 30 series, they decided to have some fun and put out a fantasy version of Celtics-Lakers that you have $15 to spend. And how would you spend your $15? Okay. So they gave you a list. Here it is. You have $15 to assemble your best Celtics-Lakers squad with the players below. Point guard, Magic Johnson, $5. Jerry West, these are all descending from $5 down to $1. Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, Rajon Rondo, Smush Parker. Shooting guard, Kobe Bryant, Ray Allen, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, Sasha Bajacic. Shooting forward, Elgin Baylor, John Havlicek, Michael Cooper, Paul Pierce, Adam Morrison. Power forward, Kevin McHale, James Worthy, Kevin Garnett, Pau Gasol, and Brian Scalabrine. Center, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, Shaq, Robert Parrish, and Mark Mattson. Exactly which name is missing there among the all-time greats? Larry Bird? Who does this stuff? Larry Bird was not on their list.
You had one job.
Okay, you're doing a three-part series on the Lakers and the Celtics primarily from the 80s, and you forgot to put Larry Bird down? (laughs) Okay. Now, there are other people, too, you could have put down. I mean, is there a Sasha Vucevic? What, you couldn't put down Byron Scott? Instead of Mark Mattson, you couldn't have slipped in Wilt Chamberlain?
It says Mark Mattson dance moves that he had in all those championship parades. That's probably how he ended up on the list.
I mean, Adam Morrison?
It's funny.
Adam Morrison? And you didn't think maybe Larry Bird would make the cut?
Did you mention Jamal Wilkes?
Jamal Wilkes is not on here.
That could have been one.
Jamal Wilkes. How about Gail Goodrich? Happy Hairston. Not on here. JoJo White. Not on here. Oh, I can just imagine the age of the intern that did this. So naturally, of course, they received reaction. Don't worry at 30 for 30. I saved that atrocious tweet you deleted about the Celtics. Who is Larry Bird? You're idiots. I guess that Larry Bird never played. Must have been my imagination. Of course, you got, he said, we list all the important players. Of course, you got Smush. Yes, Scalabrine, Morrison, Larry, who? Larry Bird, who? let's see. Leaving Larry Bird off the list of 80 Celtics from a 30 for 30 film. Strong move. This one, you disrespected Larry Bird. Next one, Larry Bird. No. Doesn't that ring a bell to you? These are all tweets to the reaction to this. Whoever made this graphic should be fired, then tarred and feathered. Okay, it's a tweet. It's not that serious, okay? Missing Larry Legend. I sent an intern getting fired for this. I would hope not. Okay, that's a mistake. Hey, there are certain fireable offenses in life. This isn't one of them. Then this one, at 30 for 30, I will spend all $15 on Larry Bird and then beat the rest. Oh, my goodness. See, but the one problem I have with the tweet, the people that are calling for whomever's job, don't call for their job, for goodness sakes. This is a fantasy camp thing, for goodness sakes. You know, they make a mistake, they foul ball, they blow it, whatever. That's fine, they'll learn from it, but you don't make them learn for it by, oh, they should lose their job. Not just because we're having fun with it, but that's all we're doing is we're having fun with it. That's all we're doing is having fun with it. All right? You know, as we've discovered today, in very graphic terms, there are far more exponentially serious things out there than someone failing to put Larry Bird on a list, on a fantasy camp list of $15 to spend. Okay? There's no Bob McAdoo, no Bill Walton, whatever. Whomever it is that did this, probably young and it's irrelevant. Is it relevant? In the scheme of life, is it relevant? There's certain mistakes that you make that are, without question, job on the line mistakes. That is not one of them. That is a harmless, who cares, let's have some fun, great, I blew it, go to the next thing. They'll learn from it. Also, who was supposed to check that before it went out? They'll learn from it, too. Okay? That's all it is. We have to do a better job in everything we do of putting things into perspective. Everything. Okay? We have to be able to have the ability to let certain things roll off our back and get concerned only about the serious things. That's not serious. It's nothing. Now, I'm going to guess that the vast majority of these tweets that were sent that we read about in reaction to it, what, I read 10 of them? something tells me eight of them were just in the fun and spirit of it just to make fun. The other two, where they called for the job, okay. I sincerely hope you're joking about that. It's just, it's not serious. You know, you got to be able to let things roll off your back that are no big deal. You know, there are serious things like we saw today. We saw something extremely serious today down in Alexandria, Virginia. It just gives you, it gives you perspective. Worry about what's important. Don't worry about the unimportant. Don't worry about somebody's, tweet about leaving Larry Bird out. Now, I am completely for having some fun at the expense of it. I'm completely for that. Ever hear of Larry Bird? You know, where you're just being sarcastic and you're just having fun, and that's all it is. We should be able to have fun with what we do. Laugh about things. You know what's interesting? You know what the next 30 for 30 is? It's going to be on Mike and the Mad Dog from WFAN Radio in New York.
That's right. They had a private screening for that a month or two ago. I definitely will watch that.
Yeah, it's July 13th, so it's the day after the All-Star game, I believe. Somebody made an observation watching the trailer, and I found this interesting. Have you seen Mike Francesa when his show has been televised?
I don't get Yes Network, so I've maybe seen clips here
but
and
it's
there.
It was on at Fox for a period of time, on FS1 for a period of time.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they say, you know what? They said they noticed about the clips, because they worked together for 19 years. They said the thing they noticed about the clips in the trailer, now obviously you're picking certain scenes, so I understand that, but how much Francesa is smiling and laughing in those scenes with Russo. They say they don't see him smile or laugh much anymore on there. Now, they were together 19 years. They've now been separated for nine years. Russo now is on Sirius XM. And Francesa's show will end in December of this year. And that's by his own doing. He says he's not getting out of radio, but he's decided to end the show. I mean, those two were always a riot together. Christopher, Mad Dog Russo, Mike, I tell you right now, I'm telling you the Yankees, right? And then he comes on, Dog. it's the comic voice. Dog. They can't pitch him 4 days in a row.
Doggy.
They can't do that. All right. You need to think long term. But they had to save last night's game. Yeah. It was always an interesting contrast between the two great, strong personalities. And you see talk radio the way it is in this country. Let's see. If they go back 19 years, that would have been, they started doing this in what, 86, 87? Well, in 86, 87, they decided to bring, they started taking the show to Super Bowls. Well, there was no Radio Row at Super Bowls. There was no Radio Row at Super Bowls. They were like, they could get the pick of anybody. They were the only ones down there. Now there's a Radio Row. Same thing with the World Series. Same thing with the NBA Finals. They would take their show on the road, and all of a sudden other people started taking their show on the road. Well, they set a standard in a lot of ways for what goes on. Now, obviously, I obliterate that standard every day. But they set a standard. It's not like we don't take the show on the road, which obviously we do. I mean, we've taken the show on the road a lot. We've gone to bowl games and U.S. Opens and Big Ten tournaments and things like that. I mean, we've gone to a lot of different places along the way.
Yeah, our great friend of the show, Kim Jones, she was actually on with Francesa yesterday, and they got into a pretty interesting debate about Odell Beckham Jr.
about him showing up at camp?
Yeah, they got to talking about, I guess they, the interview started, they were talking about Eli Manning. And, yeah, it was about skipping the OTAs. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, she's on that show a lot with him. And she does a great job every time she's on.
Oh,
I mean,
she does.
Kim's really smart.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really, really smart.
Yeah, she'll, from time to time, she'll be on when Boomer and Carton take off. She'll be doing, you know, sometimes doing some morning stuff in New York.
Yeah. Yep.
Monday evening quarterback show with Carl Banks.
No, I mean, she's just really, really smart, and she's done a great job of sourcing and so forth. She's trusted by a lot of people, which she should be. And that's where we've been fortunate. I mean, I could say this about all the guests that we got. My goodness, we had Kenny Albert on the other day. I mean, there'll be other people that we'll get on. We're still trying to get Ernie Johnson back on, people like that. Now we'll finally hit the off season for basketball. We can do that. But, I mean, we try to get interesting guests on, try to get informed guests on. We had Ben Kirschville on for the first time. We had Jim Miller on for the first time. So, I mean, we've been lucky, but we've created our own luck because Sean's worked. I mean, Sean has worked so, so hard to get as many guests on the show. He wants John Kruk on the show, so he's persistent until he finally gets John Kruk. Sean goes out and he works. He says, look, we got to be able to get X on the show. He'll work tirelessly until he gets X on the show.
Actually, it took us over a month to get Jim Miller on, but he had some overseas travel and some other things. We would have got him on sooner. Actually, I just thought of someone. Actually, before our show started here this afternoon, I thought of someone. I'll have to run it past you once we're finished. I know it's someone we've never had on before.
Oh, I was going to say, it didn't begin with the word the, did it?
No. No, the name doesn't rhyme with fruit.
I will say that the suit in his own way is entertaining. I've never run into a single person ever who thought that senior night for football was about the parent and not the kid. I'm talking never.
I believe the parents are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yeah, sure.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
I'm thinking to myself, how many gassers did you run? It's more about the parents than the kids. I thought, wow, that's one of the five most selfish things I've ever heard. All right. That's not funny. Okay. My kids had senior night. You know what I thought about? It's their senior night. Football, basketball. Like, hey, what the heck? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Wrap it up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us as we close down shop for today. The U.S. Open gets underway tomorrow. And, of course, the people are wondering whether or not Phil Mickelson can make it. That is because his daughter. It's interesting how things come full circle. We've really witnessed it. 1999 Pinehurst, first of Mickelson's six runner-ups at the U.S. Open. He's coming down the stretch. Remember, it was a big thing that week, where he said during press conferences, look, I have a pager, and if Amy, his wife, goes into labor, I'm leaving. They said, well, what if you're walking down the 16th fairway on Sunday with a one-shot lead? You'll leave? He says, yes. Well, she didn't go into labor until right after the tournament. And remember, Payne Stewart rolled in that birdie putt on the 72nd hole to win, and Mickelson, for the first time, is a runner-up, first to six. and Payne Stewart holding Mickelson's face saying, hey, look, he says, you're going to be a dad in a few days. And, of course, Payne Stewart then lost his life a few months later in that plane crash. Well, here we are now 18 years later, and Amanda Mickelson is now the president of her high school class. She's giving the speech tomorrow. And it is at 10 o'clock Pacific time. And that would mean that the commencement begins at noon Central time. Mickelson's tea time is at 2:20 Central time. He needs, he says, a four-hour rain delay to make it. So, I don't think he's going to get that, but still. You probably will not get that, but it's amazing how it's come full circle. And I've had somebody say, well, he's holding up somebody else, holding up somebody else. Hey, if he can't go, that person's already there. They can just put the slot and just slot him right in there. That person that would take the spot's there. They're not going to let the twosome go ahead. That's not the way it goes. So, kind of an amazing... The Floyd Mayweather-Colin McGregor potential fight date has been approved by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. They've approved August 26th at the MGM Grand, which, of course, is Mayweather's, that's his home base. How much money each one would get remains to be seen. I guess McGregor's already signed his contract. I can tell you in no uncertain terms, I will not watch it. I mean, Pacquiao fought Mayweather. I didn't watch that one. I did not find that intriguing.
Yeah, that fight did not match the hype going into that.
Excuse me, who's the one that said on the show it's going to be boxing's first ever no-hitter? I mean, I just had a gut feeling. Look, and I've gone and watched fights before. That one just didn't move the needle for me at all. And this one doesn't either, but those who love MMA, they will go.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.